Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's up, guys? Ryan Sprague here, and I'm just dropping in to remind you about our Patreon campaign. Somewhere in the Skies is always free to consume, but it's not free to create. So if you want to help the show on a monthly basis, we have tons of rewards for you in return, including shoutouts on the show and website, bonus content and episodes, and free merch. Want to be my guest or pick a topic for the show? You can do that too. So if you'd like to learn more and to help support the show, visit patreon.com/somewhereskies. Thank you, and keep looking up. Today on the show, we're talking to Joe and Emmett Hayes, the UFO bros.
We had it analyzed, and this is aerospace-ready material, and that it was designed to withstand a tremendous amount of pressure, the type of metal it is. This is something that has been through a traumatic event. And this was right in the coordinates of the Needles crash on the banks of the Colorado River.
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Sprague.
Welcome to Somewhere in the Skies. Today, we're just going to let loose and have a good time. And I couldn't think of two better people to do that with than the UFO bros. Joe and Emmett Hayes are two brothers from North California who grew up looking at the stars and wondered what was out there. And now, two decades later, they are still doing the same thing. The brothers turned their hobby into a semi-profession, becoming two of the most insightful and funniest investigators of the UFO phenomena. While their methods aren't always by the book, their passion for explaining the unexplainable is incontrovertible. They bring attention to the subject through brotherly humor and irreverence, while at the same time giving it the respect it deserves. So let's get to our informal and sometimes uncensored conversation with the UFO bros. I am here with the UFO bros, and today we're just going to have fun. Like, this is not going to be the super standard list of questions, answer, goodbye. We're going to have a good time, because if there's something I love about you guys is that you take this topic of UFO seriously, but not too seriously. And I think that's what's lacking in this field so much. So we're going to have fun. We're going to get a little crazy. We're going to look at some interesting stuff that you guys are in possession of that the world has not really seen yet. And I'm so excited for that. I just want to get to that. But before we do that, I want to ask you guys, I mean, this is kind of about all of us coming together, figuring out, like, you know, how we got into this stuff. So origin story for the UFO bros. How did you guys get interested in UFOs? How did you come up with this idea of the UFO bros? Yeah, let my audience know what you guys are all about.
Sure. Well, it first started coming out of the same person. That was where we met. And actually, I'll tell you, we say this story over and over again. We've told it a few times. Alien autopsy.
An autopsy.
1997.
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, here we are, our normal teenage selves, and we come across this video. They just... Hey, it's my parrot. We come across this video and it's amazing. You know, here's this alien body on a table. They're cutting it open. They're taking its brains out. They're cataloging its organs. And it just blew us away and really opened our mind to what's potentially out there. And so another thing I think that really sparked it was our older cousin gave us a book. It was just called Paranormal. And it was actually a beautifully bound book. I wish I still had it. And in it was everything. Loch Ness Monster, UFOs, Baghdad batteries, anything that's paranormal, strange, you know, that stuff was in that book. And so that was like a huge thing for us. And so we've just been following it ever since. Bob Lazar also was a huge revelation.
Will you shut that damn bird up?
Shut up. Come here.
There is a parrot in the room for those watching and listening. Oh, my gosh. Love
there
it.
There she is.
There she is.
She is gorgeous, man.
She loves FaceTiming. Thank you so much.
What's her name?
Her name is Noxzema Jackson.
Okay. Okay.
So Bob Lazar, right?
Yeah.
Whoa. I know you know because you guys covered it too, right? On your TV show. Wasn't you have a regular? This is your second season, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going into our second season right now. You know, I'm not like the main host, but I come on anytime there's UFO stuff, which is awesome.
So cool.
Jennifer Marshall, our prime investigator, she is no bullshit, like top of the line. Skeptical believer, which I think is very important. Like she wants the facts. She wants the truth. She wants to go where the evidence leads her. So, when, you know, we did Roswell, we did Area 51. And of course that had so much to do with Bob Lazar, which is one of my questions for you guys. We'll get to later on, but, sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
Yeah, no, I mean, it just kind of spurred from there. And then in 2016, we had some life events that brought us together as adults in a different way. And we just was like, let's go to Area 51. Nice. And we went. And it was the most beautiful time of the year. If you're out there at the right time, it can be gorgeous. You know, you just got to be careful when you're driving at night because it is possible to hit a cow. I'm just, the pictures at the little alien with the dead cows in these cars. So you got to be careful.
So disturbing. And then we
went to Roswell, and then we went to Aurora, Texas, and then we went to Needles, and then we went to Area 51. I mean, we've just spent so much time going there. And that, I think, is really what we do. Because some people, you know, they research and we need it.
Some people.
It's a different thing to actually go and explore it and find the Roswell crash site and find that monument out there in the middle of a field. It's like a needle in a haystack, finding that. And then finding, what the hell's at Area 51? And I think we moon the guards in our special, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, we did.
While we're at it, let's talk about that. Yeah. I mean, you guys are probably most well-known now as being national television stars. So tell us about the special on Travel Channel. Joe, what did you think about it, brother? Because I know, Emmett, you're like the big believer, right? Oh. He's the talker, and you're the guy who just is like, you know, always so stoic, which I liked in the special. So, yeah, give it to me. Like, how did the special come about? And what was it like filming that?
Oh, my God. So the special, me and Emmett just started doing our normal podcasting. We just put a couple videos up on our channels. And then we just started getting phone calls of just production companies wanting to, hey, you guys want to do a show about aliens? We're like, yeah. So we started doing the pre-production stuff, pilot stuff, and then it just happened. It was really quick and surprising. It's awesome.
How about you, Emmett? Like, what was it like getting contacted by a TV network and being like, we want you to go out and look at the UFO topic? I'm still like in awe that it happened to me. Like, it was something I never really saw coming. Like, when you have a TV network behind you, the resources are amazing. So I mean, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say, like, I imagine you feel this way. The whole time, I just kept thinking, I'm really not supposed to be here. Like, I'm so lucky to be here, to be a part. Like, you know, you mind yourself that of every minute. You're like, I'm not supposed to be here. But, oh my gosh, with the resources of travel and the showrunners and all the people that really are the stars, as far as I'm concerned, because Joe and I, you know, we talk and we do what we do, but these people, they assembled that in less than 2 months from start to finish. I don't know how they did it. They were literally editing while we were going to different shoots and stuff and interviews and that sort of thing. But it was great to be able to get involved with people that are making more waves in this topic, bringing in Bob Lazar, Jeremy Corbell, who has done a phenomenal job of covering this topic and in ways it's really connecting with people. And that was kind of our whole premise was mysterious is great, but what do you like the normal people think? So going to Area 51 was the perfect opportunity. You know, we interviewed some great people. We interviewed the guy that wanted to fornicate with the alien. we interviewed the guy from Boston that was pissed off that all of the, you know, secrets are covered up. And that's so cool because that's on our level. You know, we just talk to people about it. And that's kind of always been our approach. And I think that that just lined up well with Area 51. We were just in the right place, the right time for it. But it was a blast. I mean, you know, getting to be in the RV, meeting Rick Doty, hanging out with Jeremy. It was great, man. It was just such a huge moment to just absorb everything about our little world of UFOs and our community and just be in it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, to be paid for it. You're like, what?
And to be, yeah, what? Mm-hmm. Like, that's your job? It's insane.
Wait, I'm getting money for this?
What I thought was really cool, too, is like, you guys came right at the peak of interest, both in Area 51 and UFOs. I mean, look at all this stuff we have with, you know, the Pentagon UFO program. And I know on our show, we looked at these stunning, what I think are stunning similarities between what Bob Lazar was saying back in the 80s of how these craft worked. You know, they weren't like the saucer kind of floating and hovering like we see in the 50s movies. You know, it was craft belly up and then like gets pulled instead of pushed out the back by propulsion. So Lazar was saying this shit back in the 80s. And then Jennifer and I are looking at the current videos, you know, the Tic Tac, the gimbal, the Go Fast. And you look at one of those, I believe it was the gimbal video. Yeah. Yes. And what did that craft do? Right at the end of the video that we see? Exactly, brother. And the guy even says it rotated. And that gave me chills, I think, when I made that connection in our show. And I can't pretend to be the first. Like, Jeremy's been saying it for a long time. Other people noticed. They're like, huh, what Lazar said back then is kind of true now. So what do you guys think? Does that lend credence to his story? And I guess the overall question, what do you guys think? Do you believe Bob? I'd love to get your both of your opinions on it. I've got mine for damn sure.
I believe Bob. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, I believe Bob. I definitely believe Bob 100%.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Bob Lazar that some people tend to focus on are some of his little quirky sort of side expeditions and side businesses that he's had.
Like working at a brothel.
But to be honest with you, if I was to bring somebody into an extremely super secretive black project, I would look for somebody who is easily discreditable. Is that a word? Discreditable?
Discreditable. It is today. Yeah. Let's go.
Discreditable.
With it. Discreditable.
And he's the perfect person for that. And he's also got, you know, a physicist and he thinks outside the box. And that's the kind of person I think you'd want to look at in exotic technology. You wouldn't want to bring the guy necessarily, you know, that's writing the papers and he's the book smart guy. And because I think there's one thing that Bob was able to do was technical application, actually build the things and touch them.
Hey,
he was a hands-on guy.
Right.
I don't want to say anything, but you got a drizzle on your drip of your chin there.
Yum.
Flavor saver.
Oh.
It's what are you drinking, man? What is that? That looks so good.
Sitting so, there talking to me.
So we are having a cold brew with light sweet cream and some pumpkin foam, no topping.
With a parrot.
It's our favorite.
I love it. I love it.
I'm like, of course I have to have a parrot, and of course it has to be rainbow parrot. I mean, like, can I get a more inconspicuous bird? I don't know. I love her. She's my TV bird. I got her after storming Area 51.
Oh, that's awesome. What a good permanent souvenir, right, to remember.
Right,
yeah. I love her. Well, she's my friend.
I guess, yeah, I'm with you guys. Like, I must admit, Here's my sort of passive answer, and I get shit for saying this a lot by the UFO community, but I've been vocal about my thoughts on Bob Lazar ever since I met him. I think it was like 2011 or 2012, he was speaking at the International UFO Congress, and he hadn't really come forward for a really long time. And the only thing that really brought him out to talk about it was George Knapp, you know, the guy who broke Lazar's story originally. And we got him up on the stage and had him do like a Q&A and go through everything. And I got to mic him, put the microphone on him. So I'm like,
what does he smell like?
Ooh, he smells like
science.
He smells like
science and
element 115. If you've ever, it's got a little pungent sourness to it. No.
Nice little metallicness.
Yeah. No, he seems like the kind of guy who wears Old Spice to me. So yeah, I think I smelled bit of like the Fuji scented one or something like that. But oh no, man. I mean, putting the mic on him, getting to talk to him for a few minutes, like he just seems like such a down to earth, genuine dude. And here's where I land on it all. I firmly believe Bob Lazar did what he said he did, worked where he said he worked, and saw what he says he saw. But what that is an entirely different story. I mean, this could have been part of some big disinformation campaign, which is part of another individual who you guys spoke to that I want to talk to you about maybe in a little bit. But I believe Bob. I'm with you guys. I'm skeptical of some parts of his story, but look,
do I believe everything? No. Did he have an advanced degree? Probably not. Anybody who's ever like put in a job on a resume might've been like, I was the top executive, you just pump it up a little bit.
Right.
You know, and frankly, some people can carry the knowledge and application to be at a PhD level, just not have the degree. So, I mean, you know,
just whatever the words, I just put the words out that people can determine what they think. It's just the words.
The tremendous words.
We have the most big, he does this. We have the most medalist saucers.
Terrific job.
My audience is gonna love this part for sure.
Especially like, what the?
Especially this week, you know, or what do we got something going on in the United States in a couple weeks. We won't go there, but
what are we on again?
Yeah, what is happening? But yeah, I kind of hogged the first couple questions there. I don't know if you guys wanted to take the lead or I've got plenty for you, but yeah. If there's anything you need me to spill the beans on, I'm here too.
So Joe had a question. When do you think you'll reach puberty?
What? Hey, look, guys. I can't grow the beautiful facial hair you have, but
dude, this is 2 months of growth. This is 2 months.
Is it really?
You look great, dude. You look like a guy that could be on TV. You know what I mean?
You talking to him or me?
You. You should be on TV.
Oh, thank you.
You have the face for it, man. Definitely. I was just telling my brother, I'm like, look at this guy. He's so young. I wonder how old he is. Actually, I'm sorry. I'm going back.
Bro, you're such a dick.
I'm taking it as a compliment.
Yeah, just take it.
Some of us go through stages of life later than others, but I'll get that.
Okay. I'm probably to reach myself.
I'll probably solve the UFO mystery before I go through puberty, but that's a whole other
puberty.
You're gonna be like 80, and you're gonna look. I'm gonna ask you a question.
Oh God, please go.
Out of any of your investigations and research, is there one piece of information maybe that you could share with us, possibly you haven't shared with somebody else or you haven't talked about, maybe even a developing theory? Or I just want to know, I just like to know that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yep. For me, it goes back to the pilot episode of the Mysteries Decoded television show where Jennifer and I went to Roswell like you guys did. And, look, when I got approached for this television show and they said, we want to do a UFO show, I'm like, that's so cool. Yeah, if it ever happens, let me know. But you know that game, like all these producers and people say they want to make these shows and then it never happens. And you're waiting months and months. But
is your hair fall out? Mine did, man.
Yeah. And I'm just like waiting by the phone and making lattes at my coffee shop and like, miserable with my life. And then I get the phone call and I'm like, wow, they actually made it happen. They got a pilot, like a 1 hour special. And then they said they wanted to do Roswell. And right there, man, like Roswell is Roswell. It's awesome. But I also was like, really? Like this, we're doing the case that everyone's covered. Everyone knows every play by play of the events. Mm-hmm. So I told them, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But we have to do something new. And we have to do something special and bring new evidence or like theories to the table. And I think we did. I thought we came up with some really cool stuff, whether it was the Ramey memo that we looked at, you know, the guy who had that memo during the press conference and what it might have said.
Have you gotten any further on that?
We're still analyzing the memo. It's so hard, man. Like, we've...
You know what? I'm going to tell you a secret. Play with I've been playing around with it on Facetune because you can take the lines and bend them. Facetune, you know, you can do things.
Right.
You can... if you manipulate the lines, I was starting to kind of get some, like, you know. And what I'm getting is I want to solve that shit. You know, you're like, let's solve some shit. I think we got to, you know, I want to know what you know about that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, why can't, you know, have you, like, who have you taken it to? I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, in the show,
Shut the damn bird up.
Sorry.
She's got a lot to say about Roswell, man. We all do. Oh. We had Ben Hansen look at it. You know, former FBI agent and, you know, analyst and paranormal researcher. And I thought he did an incredible job. But we also we're having it looked at by several other independent photo analysts and stuff like that. But not even the memo for me. We looked at a medal that was found out there. We had it tested at an aerospace lab. And that came from Frank Kimbler, this dude who lives out in Roswell. Yeah. And he's been digging out in the desert for like years now, looking for any evidence of a craft that crashed. And, you know, being the earth scientist and geologist he is, he made shit happen. And he found what he believes that you've been to, that I've been to, which was the actual impact site where the craft supposedly came down. And he found metals out there. And we were like, holy shit, okay. He also found buttons, military grade buttons that would be on army outfits.
Yeah, because you need tons of army people to pick up a weather balloon, of course.
Of course, yeah. Let's have hundreds of officers out there on hands and knees picking up a
losing buttons.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the fact that he found medals and the fact that he found military buttons from the 40s, you know, that says a lot. Something crashed there in the 40s out there because it was so remote, no trash, nothing out there, yet he found these medals. So we had him tested at an aerospace lab in California. And, you know, we go about it in the special of like, yeah, it was definitely the metal was not alien in the sense that it was extraterrestrial. But we were really excited to find out that the alloys within the metal, the composition makeup, everything about this metal that he found out there was what we're using today in 2020. And it's being used on our most sophisticated aerospace shuttles and missions and stuff like that today by Elon Musk, by people like that on their spacecraft. So what the hell was that metal doing out in the desert in the 40s? I can't tell
you. How big is the metal piece?
He's got a bunch of them. I mean, the one
what's the biggest?
The biggest one I saw was probably about, and I know this doesn't give much context, maybe like 3 inches long, an inch wide. So
Joe, you know about 3 inches, right? Can you show us?
Oh,
I know,
man.
You have a pretty good eyeball on it. How about
that? You're out of control.
Oh. I hope you don't mind me jumping in on the metal.
Yeah.
We found a piece of metal. We're going to talk about that, right? Because
yes, we are. Yeah.
The things that you just said apply to this piece of metal. Because we had it tested.
Ooh, good tease, brother. Yeah, I will definitely get there. I'm going to end on my Roswell banter or blabbering here with it wasn't the physical evidence, to be honest, that really captured my attention in the research. It was actually somebody who came up to us while we were, you know, cameras were off. We were getting ready to go to our next location. And this local in Roswell came up. And of course, he's like, what are you guys doing? What are you filming? And like, you know, something about Roswell. He's like, is it the crash? We're like, yeah. He's like, of course it is. Because you know, that's all that happens in Roswell. That's what they're known for.
And Roswell's like 2 miles long.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The craft didn't even have the decency to actually crash in Roswell. That's just where they
know.
It's, oh, man.
Even the aliens
Corona,
were like,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Even the aliens were like, we're going to crash. We're not going to crash in Roswell. We're just going to keep on.
Keep on keeping on. So Oh yeah. So this dude comes up to us and he's like, so you know what really happened, right? And we're like, I mean, that's what we're trying to figure out. You know, we've heard everything from weather balloons to Project Mogul to, you know, an alien spacecraft. And he was like, nah, nope. And we're like, what do you mean? And he's like, look, this is a small town. Everyone knows someone that was involved with this crash. Everybody in the town, either related to or knew of somebody. And he said his grandfather was working at the Roswell Army Airfield at the time. And he told this guy that told us, and you guys might have heard this theory already, but it's one that I find really interesting. He said his way of putting it is there were bodies, there was a craft, it was human, and it was children. And
Children.
Either right? Russian, German, Japanese, somebody, or American. Yes. And that's what he told us. He told us that these were either mentally disabled or physically disabled children who the government snatched up. These kids were left at, you know, orphanages. They were cast outs. Nobody wanted these children. He says that they put these kids up in like a high altitude balloon or craft, because you got to think 40s. Like, this is the early, early days of looking at space exploration and breaking the chains of gravity and getting up there into the atmosphere. And they wanted to see how long these kids could survive going up there before anything happened. That would
just, I didn't hear that.
All right, kids, go up. You're going to see some stars.
It's not funny. Damn.
Isn't that so fucked up? And, like, that's what this guy told me. And he said, why do you think there was a cover-up? Like, we were kidnapping kids, putting them up there, and they were dying at alarming rates trying to beat it. I have
never heard that.
So that blew my mind.
I heard about I heard about like Russians or something that they like they sent, you know, like kids with Pajoria or whatever or something like that, but not exactly what you're saying.
Georgia. Yeah, I understand.
Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, and again, like I said, it's not the first time this theory's been brought forward, but the fact that this guy came up to me and told this, and other residents in Roswell said this, and researchers like Nick Redfern have written about this in the past, he believes it could have been Japanese who sent something over to spy on us, and it crashed. Look, the possibilities are endless, and aliens are still on the table too, but that for me kind of opened the doors wide open. And we didn't cover it in the TV show because it was really dark and depressing. They just didn't want to cover that.
Yeah, I would.
You know, they don't want to cover it yet, but I will say, you know, we're not done looking at Roswell on the TV show.
I'll tell you this. If that's what happened, that's like a worse story than aliens crashing, frankly.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I said.
Not worse or like more like explosive or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Especially nowadays, everybody's like, yeah, there's aliens or whatever. But
yeah,
I think that's interesting. I love Roswell. I love the hieroglyphics. I love when people are describing the materials. And I just like, so you're like the Roswell guy. You're our Roswell guy.
Well, there you go too, man. Hieroglyphics. You bring up a really good point. Back in the 40s and stuff, like people didn't know how to look at Russian writing or Japanese writing and whatnot at the time, you know, just everyday people in Roswell, New Mexico. I doubt it. Maybe the military. Yeah, exactly. So like if this rancher is the first to have found this stuff and whatnot, I can't say he didn't know Japanese or Russian or anything, but maybe it's possible he mistook another language written on these pieces or whatnot. And thought it was hieroglyphics, as he stated, or that Jesse Marcel Sr. showed his son that it was hieroglyphics. Who knows? Who knows? But
one more thing on Roswell with the hieroglyphics. You're making me think about, did you hear about a toy factory creating like scotch tape with patterns on it? Did you hear about this?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely.
I've seen that special. I've hunted for that tape. I've looked everywhere to see if I could find just even like, if it, you know, like has the diamonds and the clovers and the heart, that's supposed to be what was on it. But Roswell, man, that's a whole episode, bro. I mean, you know that.
It's a whole series. Yeah. I mean, and you guys know, you too, you've investigated. And every time you think you have an answer, like something creeps in and makes you go a different route. So, yeah, but that's what UFO investigation is. And you guys know that more than anyone. You've done more boots on the ground than I have personally.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'd like to get your guys' thoughts on this case that not a lot of people know about, and I hope you can share some of it with us. I know you're under NDAs for certain things and this and that, but Needles, California. This is a case that caught my attention, and I've been looking into a lot, but I want to get it from you guys. This is probably one of the most recent quote-unquote UFO crashes in history right now. So tell us a little about Needles, what you've heard about the case, and about going there. You guys actually went out to look for stuff. So is there anything you could share with my audience?
You know, to be honest with you, nobody has investigated Needles, California in a long time. And so Joe and I, just to give you some background, it was May 14th, 2008. So not that long ago, 12 years. Yeah. About 2 a.m., the residents of Needles, California, which, by the way, is like in the taint of California. It's like where California and Nevada and like there's like a little the residents saw this turquoise light screech across the sky. Right. And then it came down, crashed into the banks of the Colorado River. This was so bright, it lit up the entire town of Needles. And they were calling the local radio station that night to report it and talk about it, tell people about it. A man named Frank Costigan, who has since passed, was one of the people that took those calls. So what we did is we started there. We started with Frank Costigan, who gave us so much information about what happened in 2008. So that night, after it crashed into the banks of the Colorado River, this UFO, this, who knows, it wasn't a meteor. It was definitely a vehicle of some sort. Primarily because a squadron of helicopters were following it as it crashed. Then a sky crane came in, which is like a big helicopter that can lift really heavy stuff, comes in, picks up the object right into the sky, and they fly off. That morning, the town is overrun with seemingly scientists, possible people affiliated with the Army or the Navy.
Men in black.
Men in black.
Oh, wow.
They asked lots of questions. There was literally lines of cars coming into Needles, California. It was unlike anything they had ever seen because it's really a quiet place. They just loved their trailers and their
Chinese
bonfires
food
and whatever they do there. By Chinese food, we mean it's really bad. Not that there's Chinese people there. I just wanted to point that out. They have bad Chinese food. Okay.
Is there bad Chinese food? Let's be honest.
Yes, because when it's 115 degrees and you're eating some very hot
sour pork.
I didn't think about that. That just made my stomach turn. Yeah.
You're all, like awful at MSG, and then you're like, the water's not working. You guys don't carry Gatorade.
Oh my god. I'm thinking of Anchorman. Milk was a bad choice.
Yes, exactly.
Oh man.
So anyway, just fun memories, Joe and I, you know, we pop in here and there.
Yeah. But, yeah.
So how mysterious. There was a man named Bob on the river, okay, who was a man that was boating that night.
Wait, you said his name is Bob?
Bob.
Yeah, was he what's his last no, what do you know his last name was? Was it up and down the water? But he was fishing on the banks of Colorado River.
Go ahead, Joe.
And
he saw it fly in.
He saw it fly in.
So we went, we interviewed Frank Costigan. He gave us contact information with the local geologist and land surveyor so we could get an idea of approximately where this thing crashed in the banks of Colorado River. And we went out there with our metal detectors and our EM detectors, and we found something, man. And we have not ever really shown this, especially to somebody where you're at on TV.
Yeah.
So many followers. Yeah. We've shown people here and there. But we actually dug down a couple feet and pulled this incredible piece of metal out of the ground. And it's
really
a really pretty big piece of metal. You want to see it?
Yeah. If you guys are willing to share that. Are you allowed to?
I don't care what they're going to do. Sue me for my piece of metal.
Okay. Yeah, let's – if you guys are willing, this is a Somewhere in the Skies UFO Bros exclusive. I would love this to see. Is.
Astronaut John Kelly saw this piece of metal. And he says because of the – tinting on it, he thinks this is very much something that has been to space. So I'm going to show you the whole piece in its entirety.
Hey guys, Ryan dropping in right here to state the obvious. There are some references right here and throughout this interview that reference something we're looking at. Head on over to the Ryan Sprague YouTube channel if you want to watch the video version of this interview. Especially with the next part, where we get to see this debris from a possible downed UFO. Thanks as always for listening, watching, and now, back to the interview.
Oh wow, that's huge.
Okay, but when you look at it, it's just like, okay, it's a piece of metal. But upon further inspection, you'll start to notice, look, there's this weird bubbling that has occurred in the metal, which suggests that something was heated extremely quickly, faster than able to char. The other thing too is you can see the way that this has come off. It looks as though it has literally exploded off something. But this is, if you look at this side here, there is a strange like yellow tinting to it.
Yeah.
Backside, there's some discoloration and looks like oxidation. We have this.
It hasn't rusted. Well,
it has not rusted. Came right out of the ground.
Oh, wow.
We had it analyzed. And same thing you said, man. This is aerospace ready material. And that it was designed to withstand a tremendous amount of pressure, the type of metal it is. And so it is not a piece of a license plate or a piece of aluminum off a roof or something like that. This is something that has been through a traumatic event. And this was right in the coordinates of the needles crashing on the banks of Colorado River.
Wow.
So that's super thin, very strong.
Dude, it looks identical to our metals. I'm not kidding you. Even the like you said, the bubbling that we're seeing there where it looks like it was like burned or impacted, ours had the same thing. And this was like a solid steel piece that you could not bend, you could not break, nothing. Yet it had those really interesting rivets in it and bubbling, like you said, like something very traumatic had happened. Wow. It is strikingly similar to our metals. There's something to be said about that. What do you guys think? What do you think it is?
That was buried like 4 to 5 feet down.
That was okay.
Joe,
so
every
we're not
time you say that story, it gets a foot deeper. It was like 2 feet down.
It was like 2 to 4 feet deep. It was
in the core of the earth.
We dug to China.
Yeah.
China. But here's Joe, what do you think? Because I think that I don't necessarily know that it's extraterrestrial, but I really do think that whatever crashed in needles, this could really truly be a piece of it. That's what I truly believe.
We had it analyzed. We analyzed its properties. We, had to take it around it. And from the results, it's something that's been in space. The yellowing on it is from radiation. That they say.
Oh, wow.
And
that's saying something. Yeah.
this being in space, this creates this sort of yellow tint.
Yellow coating tint, yeah.
We've actually even had skeptics look at it, and they still say this is weird. And so we can truly say that this is a strange object off of something that suffered a traumatic event.
And quite possibly was in space.
I really do think that this is possibly a piece of what crashed, because it sounds to me like potentially if Needles wasn't extraterrestrial, that it definitely was an advanced, potentially government experimental craft of some sort, which could explain this sort of launch grade alloy. And
so how you like them apples there, Ryan? Do you like our
Right? The gooey. You should go on a trip with us sometime. You actually probably might kill us.
That'd be the funniest shit in the world.
Oh, my God.
The poor sound guy in the back of the RV and he's like, you know, guy, they were just like, how do you guys, how are you still talking? It's been 12 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
So, it's the passion that keeps you going.
It was the passion. So how long did you guys record? He's like, well, like about 40 minutes after we left, we just stopped because he just kept talking and talking.
Oh, man, that is
well. I think that's what this is about too, right, Ryan? Like, it's supposed to be fun.
Absolutely. I try to remind people, this is a serious topic. Like, we're talking about possible kidnapping of kids by the U.S. government and killing them at a UFO crash. And also, like, the potential of alien-like visiting our planet. It is a big thing, but come on. Like, we talk about the weirdest shit out there. And if we can't laugh about it every now and again, you're going to be miserable. So
Let you know that that Nick Pope, that was him letting go.
Let's that talk was about his that.
Having a good time.
Let's talk about that. You guys
he didn't get anything that I was doing. I was doing the Donald Trump water bottle drink. He's like, what?
What?
What happened?
Look.
What was it like?
He's
what
a very like thoughtful man.
Yeah.
Oh, he actually, a blast, and he went along with it perfectly.
Yeah, he did.
Like, I was able to really let go.
Yeah. And by that, he means like unbutton the top button of his shirt. Right?
Yeah.
But no, he was great. Definitely a great, and I would like to have him on again.
Nick Pope was the former UFO desk worker for the MOD in England and their UFO project. And you should know that by now to my audience, but
yeah.
So what did he have to say? Anything really compelling that he brought forward with you guys?
My favorite part of the whole show is we ask him, we say, if there is a revelation about UFOs and extraterrestrials this month, potentially, what would the president say to the people? Walk us through that moment. And he does. For a minute, he actually got us silent. We were like,
yeah. Did it happen? Like, bro, did it happen?
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Wait, is this happening? Are you doing disclosure now? Like,
is this it?
Just
yeah. He did really good.
Like, the president will walk out. And I can't really do anything. But, that was my favorite part. You know, the guy is deep into what's going on over.
Yeah.
He's on Tucker Carlson. I know how much you watch Tucker Carlson all the time, don't you? I know you love Tucker Carlson, don't you, Ryan?
Oh, huge fan of Mr. Carlson. Hey, look, I'm pretty vocal about my political leanings and everything. But, you know, I try to keep it out as much as I can.
Always.
All this. But, you know, it's hard because this is a political issue, UFOs. Mm-hmm. You know, we can all see
it. I didn't mean to bring up politics. Well, I did, but I didn't like to bring it up like in a big way.
But hey, look, if there's anything I can say about Tucker Carlson, you know, besides him as a person, he is taking this thing more serious than any news network, any news anchor, and he's doing a really good job at it. He's a smart guy. There's no getting around that. Tucker Carlson is a very smart guy. There's so much I don't agree with him on in the world, but hey, if he's going to be the one to get this thing out to the forefront, I am appreciative of that. And
I just want it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Want it out. We want the truth.
I don't care who does it. Just put it out. Just get it out. And that's how I feel being just apolitical. And I was teasing you a little bit, but just being apolitical about it. I don't care if the Pope, I don't care. I want to know so that we can I don't. What are we going to do after all this is over? What are we going to complain about?
What are the three of us going to do? We're going to have to like take up like basket weaving or something. I don't know.
Underwater basket weaving.
That's underwater. Right. Yes. Got to put that caveat on. Well, hey, I want to know what you guys think. And while we're on the topic of like disclosure and, you know, I guess U.S. politics, we have a major election coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, no matter which way it goes, you know, Trump has kind of given us his thoughts and whatnot on the UFO topic, but Biden has said nothing. He's never really talked about it. But do you think with a new administration, things could change in terms of the UFO disclosure? If we have a different administration full of different people who may have some interest in this topic, does it matter? Does it even matter if Trump is there or Biden is there? Will anything change with the overall disclosure of UFOs in your guys' opinions?
I think that things are so chaotic right now. Now would be probably the most likely time that something could get out. I don't know what would happen if Biden got in. Like you said, he hasn't said anything. But what if he gets in, but then he does the, you know, what was the former, which was just kind of keep
He will.
Pushing it along kind of thing. I'm actually surprised Trump hasn't said anything yet, to be very honest. I mean, the guy's like, you know.
I mean, why wouldn't Biden? I mean, tell you the truth, why wouldn't Biden? You know, they're little tiny little beings, and he can smell their head and as he sits there with them, you know. I mean.
Those are some creepy videos, man.
Why wouldn't he, you know?
I don't care who you vote for. Like, them some creepy videos for sure.
He's just sitting there.
Oh, man. We've literally alienated 100% of our audience already. And I think that's amazing.
It's all about fun. True. And especially right now, man, like, I think they're all crazy, okay? All of them. Every single politician line, they're all is equally not truthful. So let's just get that out. So you can do whatever you want to do with whoever you want. But like you said, let's get the info out. Hopefully we can get it.
Well, okay. So one of your guests is probably the most controversial person in ufology from years past and even up until today. And I was really surprised to see you guys get him on and chat with this guy, and that is Rick Doty, the professional disinformation agent within ufology, working for the U.S. Air Force and OSI and all these other things. I don't even want to list all his credentials because they scare me, but what was it like?
Right?
What was that like, guys?
Honestly, he's a really great guy.
Yeah, he seems nice. That's the problem.
He's fun. Well, yeah, you know, that's actually very true. You know, I think the point is, in terms of interviewing Rick Doty, is whether you like it or not, he has a story. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's off-putting because, you know, of his past and what he did, like you were saying, being a disinformation agent. But you got to just talk to him yourself. You have to, you know, you can't really just hear what other people are saying. You got to really kind of ask them, why did you have to do that? What did that entail? Mm-hmm. What are you doing now? You know, what about this, this, and this? We just ask, you know, we don't beat around the bush. And so that was really why we continued to interview Rick Doty. We only really got a chance to talk to him a little bit about Area 51. Yeah. And so we wanted to further our conversation, our curiosity. I understand what you're saying, you know, potentially giving a platform to maybe a disinformation person. But I think the larger picture of what we do here is people have to pick and choose what they think is the most accurate. Rick Doty, people could listen to him and go, that guy's totally full of shit. And that's fine with me. That's fine with, because, you know, ultimately there's a story and he shares one with us and people, you know, I don't, it's an interesting story.
Oh, it's a very interesting story.
Never told anybody before. And it's an interesting story.
And I believe him. You know what? I believe him, bro. And I believe him.
Okay. You guys will have to, in my audience, go watch or listen to that interview to hear that story. I obviously don't want to give it away here, but you're right. He is a storyteller, and that's what worries a lot of people and also captures a lot of people's attention who might not know about what he's done in the past. And again, for anyone who doesn't know, this gentleman, he's probably best known for a disinformation campaign he did back in the 80s with a gentleman named Paul Benowitz, who was reporting UFOs over Kirtland Air Force Base, and went straight up to the base, kind of like knocked on the proverbial front door and said, yo, there's UFOs over your base. And also, right. like, I'm getting these weird transmissions on my radios right. back home, and I think it's an alien invasion. And meanwhile, the Air Force Base is like, holy shit, he, like, cracked our secret spy codes and whatnot, and, like, frequencies. Right. This is a huge national security breach, and this dude is able to, like, hear this and experience this. Like, that's fucked up. We gotta, like, do yeah. something. And when he came to them and said it's aliens, they ran with it. They're like, okay, sure.
Totally, right.
It's aliens. Yeah.
They, like, and they, get into it.
They fed him, and Rick Doty was the gentleman who they hired to go to this guy and keep it going. Keep telling him there's an alien invasion coming. They would break into his home, him and these other spooks, and when he wasn't home, and, like, move shit in his apartment or his house, and just so he would become paranoid or think he was crazy. And they just kept doing this and driving it into this dude's brain that there was a pending alien invasion and the government knew about it. And until he went mad and his family had to put him in a mental institution. And this is all proven and documented. And right. Rick Doty, the gentleman you interviewed, was the one who drove this guy crazy for the
yes,
U.S.
Yes, you have to talk to him about it, though.
Crazy.
Very interesting. Crazy.
He it's has not, his side no, of the story, right?
Well, it's interesting when you talk about orders from the Army or what – I don't actually remember exactly what branch he was in. I think it was Army, right, Joe? Remember off the top
yeah,
of my head.
I'm not sure.
I don't know everything about Rick Doty, yeah. but he explains that when you're under orders, there's certain things you have to do. And I found that to be interesting because if you are, how does that work, Ryan? If you're like a soldier and you're told to do something, what do? You know,
you do it. And I get that. Like, and yeah. Doty has said that in the past. He said, I was doing my job and this is for national security. And I was, you know, paid to do this. And, like, of course, I'm going to do what I'm told to do. And
but frankly, who's to say he's not still doing that job either?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Which is true.
Yeah.
You know, he's just got some interesting stories and things to say. So that would be why we mm-hmm. brought him on.
There's such a weird thing nowadays, I think, in the media, and whether it's like YouTube or mainstream media or anything in between, of giving certain people platforms. And this sort of cancel culture we live in is no. If you're interviewing them or talking about them, you're automatically giving them more exposure. And to an extent, I understand that. But I also think it's important to understand why someone feels the way they feel or did the things they did, and let the listener or decide. So I understand why you guys did it. It was very interesting. And look, his story's still being written. He's yeah. still in there. I mean, he's on Facebook every 2 seconds, like liking my posts and other UFO researchers like yourself, interacting Good. With us. And it's weird. It's weird knowing that, like, the poster child of disinformation within ufology.
The guy from Mirage Men on the yeah. cover of Mirage Men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's clicking like on, like, my posts and yeah. whatnot and your guys' posts. It's weird. What a weird digital age we live in. But,
right?
Okay. I know.
Where should we go from here, guys?
Well, I think, is there any questions, Joe, that you have for Ryan? Because, you know, we got our dual show here. You know, two worlds colliding. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think we drive well. This is fine. We definitely got to do yeah. this again for sure.
Oh my Definitely. God.
I just want to know what's for you.
One of many. Yeah.
We got to let people know about Ryan's book, which is getting, I think, not just national, but worldwide attention on major news outlets. And I think, were you in Australia or something?
I did an interview out of Australia about a month ago. Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for those very
I know words, everything.
But, yeah, man, I came out with a second edition of my book, which you can see right there. That's shameless promotion if I've ever seen
it. No, I would read it, but I don't read books.
That's totally fair. But no, thank you for mentioning the book. It's the second
yeah.
edition.
Yeah.
I always said, like, if I'm going to buy a second edition of a book, there needs to be a reason, you know, unless it's college and you're buying, like, textbooks that you're forced to buy. Why would you want to read a second edition of a book? So I went in, dude, and I wrote 80,000 new words. It's a whole new book.
It's exhausting.
It really was. And
it's amazing.
It was, really rewarding. Like the book is all about people who've seen UFOs, experienced abductions, mm-hmm. their thoughts and theories on them. And it's more about the people having the experiences than like, how big was the craft? When did it happen? I wanted to get to
which
know
is great.
People. Yeah.
We're missing that.
Yeah. We need both. We need both.
Because we're definitely all very focused on like what's going on and the evidence and, we want us vindication and that sort of, but there are people that are still dealing with this or have dealt with it and they haven't even said anything or they haven't had the chance to get it out. And now's a good time because now, you don't have to necessarily be a crazy person, quote unquote, to have a UFO experience. It's different time. That's what's great about the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I think you're right, man. Like, I think now is the time where the world is embracing UFOs unlike ever before. And that has a lot to do with these articles that came out in the New York Times and CNN, Fox, whatever, covering the topic in a serious manner when they didn't before. And it's empowered people. So I thought, what better time to come out with a new version of the book with new UFO cases, following up with everyone in the 2016 edition of the book to see if their events have continued. That's another thing. We hear about UFO sightings, whether on the news or in person, and then that's kind of it. We never hear about it again. But look, did it continue? Did these people see other things? Has the story changed at all? Like, I wanted to know. So I followed up with everyone and then brought new cases forward, and including one of the dudes who was part of the Navy Tic Tac UFO event. He was the first person to track the things on radar, send out the intercept to the pilots, and ushered in this whole new era of UFO disclosure when it comes to the military. So, and look, that affected his life in many ways. So I wrote a whole new chapter on that. Like, I can't tell you guys how rewarding it is to, like,
oh,
you
man, do, I want to write a book someday, but I don't have the focus.
I get it. I totally get it, man.
I'm like, I'm going to write a book.
I'll read it to you.
Oh, wait, hold on.
We'll go chapter by chapter.
Order. When is it?
I'll read it to you at bedtime. How's that sound, man?
Remember Popcorn? We'll be like, read a paragraph. Popcorn Joe. Do you remember Popcorn?
No.
Remember that? That was when the class.
Oh, yeah, I remember. You had to go through the class. And
then you would say Popcorn, and then you would call on your friend in the class, and then it was their turn to read. That's
Oh, that sounds cool. Nice.
So I'll be like, and Ryan went down the slide head first. Popcorn Joe. And then he can, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Emmett's a fuck face and a fuck face of the fuck face Emmett.
Popcorn. I hope you don't mind explicit words.
No, we are no stranger to that on some
I hope you don't mind
not
marking
your
podcast. We say it if we're.
I know. I just got one of my videos on YouTube age restricted, and I'm still trying to figure out why. I don't know if it was like a fluke or what, but I'm like going through. I'm like, what the hell is so profane or needed to be censored in this? But we're seeing
they're
that
like cracking down.
I know. Yeah. They really are.
I'm afraid that the UFO crack, or sorry, the conspiracy crackdown. I don't want that to reach into our community where we're really trying to get real information out.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they're
point,
like,
though, man.
You never know. They could be like any conspiracy at all. Who knows? I mean, where is this going to lead to,
Yeah. Like, it's hard. It's hard. I know like the whole QAnon thing is being censored on all social media platforms right now, which, I struggle with censorship for sure, but if it's dangerous and it's affecting the real world in bad ways, like something like shooting up a pizza shop during Pizzagate or like drinking bleach to cure the coronavirus, those are real
That's
world.
That's a great one. It's a tremendous one. I just want to let you know that I was all part of that. Drink the bleach. You'll be wonderful.
Holy shit. That is spot on. I can't believe that. But you're right.
Tell me about it.
You're right. Like, when is it going to bleed over into ufology? And, the conspiracies that we cover, I fear that maybe we won't see as much UFO content on these platforms any longer.
Just have to be cautious, I guess, of keywords and descriptions.
Gotta be careful.
And,
Yeah, like, it's a slippery slope.
But anything about it is. Mm. I do know, though, we've had a blast with you in this interview. It's not even an interview. It's like a chat.
It's a chat.
Yeah, I was chatting.
This is so great. I think this is how most people should talk about UFOs, man.
Yeah.
So tell me about your PhD and, we don't have any PhDs in Portland.
Fuck that shit.
But I think we are going to have to wrap up for Ari because my AirPods are dying.
Oh my god, dude, that's totally fine. We are going to have plenty more opportunities to do this.
Oh yeah, dude.
We only scratched the surface today, at least on my end. And I know we could do this for hours, but no, this has been awesome. So I guess for my audience, before you guys go, where can we find you and everything you're up to and what comes next for the UFO Bros?
Well, our website, realufobros.com. We're on all things social media at Real UFO Bros. So it's just the same handle. And on our podcast is called Probecast. So you just got to search in UFO Bros Probecast. And, you know, it's slightly, you know, a different approach, as Ryan said earlier. But most people enjoy, I think, our show. We get downloads. So check it out.
Guys, this has been so much fun on my end. Thank you. I'm so happy we finally made it happen. And it's only just begun, right?
Sausage. Yes, it has, buddy.
Awesome. Take care, guys. Keep looking up.
See ya.
Bye. Ruff.
That is it for this week's episode. Again, my special thanks to Joe and Emmett for the laughs and for their insight. It certainly isn't the last you'll be hearing from them. Alright, I haven't done this in a while, so I'm going to throw you all the socials and some updates. First, we have a special Halloween series going on right now in the main feed, with interviews with people outside the UFO sphere to get us in the spooky spirit. I hope you enjoy these bonus episodes as much as I did making them. I also want to thank everyone who reached out during my first batch of signed books. I was completely overwhelmed by the response and sold out in less than 24 hours. So I'll be doing another round of those in November when I'm back on the mainland and can get them shipped out accordingly. And I will be opening this up to international buyers as well. Again, my immense gratitude to everyone who bought the book. Speaking of which, I'm giving you an exclusive update right here about the audiobook of Somewhere in the Skies. It's done. It's getting its final touches. And it should be available very soon. Stay tuned on all my socials for that. And I can't tell you how amazing Beyond the Fray Publishing did producing this audiobook. I seriously was blown away. Again, stay up to date with that and everything we got going on with Somewhere in the Skies over on Twitter at Somewhere Skies and on Instagram at Somewhere Skies Pod. And we have a very active Facebook group as well with an extremely knowledgeable and positive community. Head on over to Facebook and search for the Somewhere in the Skies podcast group, and I'll let you in. If you haven't already, please take a few moments to rate and review Somewhere in the Skies wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us gain visibility and find new listeners. Thank you in advance. Lastly, the official store is open over at teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And just search for the Somewhere in the Skies store. And if you'd like to contact me personally about guest suggestions, news stories, or to share your personal UFO account, head on over to the official website and use the contact tab. That's somewhereintheskies.com. My special thanks to all my patrons over on Patreon, to the E1 Podcast Network, and most importantly, to you for taking the time to listen. I'll see you here next week, and remember, keep your feet on the ground, but never stop searching Somewhere in the Skies.
Skies is produced by Third Kind Productions in association with the Entertainment One Podcast Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.